From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. She walk like no one, so sexy and free. Something in the water's got a hold on me. She's destiny's daughter, I'm gasping for air. If you won't believe me, you just had to be there. Alas, as much as it breaks my heart to tell you this, Leslie Odom Jr. is most definitely not talking about me in this song, so let's talk about him. Yes, he is the Tony and Grammy Award-winning star who gave Aaron Burr new life in the Broadway ultra smash Hamilton. But he got his musical start at just 17 years old, and now he's got a new album out of entirely original songs. It's called Mister, and you're hearing the track Go Crazy. Mister is Odom's first album, as I said, of all original songs, so we're going to talk about that with him and his career on and off stage. This hour on Point, a conversation with Leslie Odom Jr. And Leslie Odom Jr. joins us from New York. Welcome to On Point.
Thank you so much, Meghna. I really appreciate it.
It is incredible to have you on the show. We're so excited to have you here. First of all, tell us about Go Crazy. It's like I said, as much as I'd like to think that you were singing about individuals like me listening, what's this song about?
It's about you.
No.
I think you tapped into it. You could hear it. You could hear that it was pointed right towards you. We set out to write, a tune that was, I'll say this, the whole thesis of the record, right? I got the record deal by saying I wanted to make the music that Nat King Cole might make today. And so, you know, we didn't really know what that meant at the time, but it got us the money. So we went on an exploration of that, and we're really thinking of Nat and really the great band leaders of the 30s and 40s. And so that's a tribute to those guys. I think you can hear it in some of the lyrics, some of the non-lyrics, even in the Heidi Ho and stuff. So it was really us thinking of more of, a style of music and a time that music might have been sung.
Okay.
There's some deep personal story about me going to New Orleans and meeting this woman. You know, we were really kind of just thinking of Cab Calloway on a stage with his band trying to fire up the crowd, you know?
Wow. Okay. Cab Calloway is one of my favorites here. So what is it about that time? I mean, you mentioned Cab Calloway, you mentioned Nat King Cole. What is it about that time and that music that you so love that you wanted to sort of put into 2019?
I think that we just tried to find kindred spirits. You know, when we set out to start making music, we just tried to find, what is the tradition that you're going to, try to move for? Whose shoulders are you standing on as a vocalist, as an artist? And, what's the most natural fit, both inside and outside? You know, what sounds best on your voice, but also what feels honest to you, to me? And that's where we ended up. I grew up listening to all kinds of music, R&B, pop, gospel, soul, folk, alternative music. You know, I really grew up, before the Spotify playlist, we created our own little Spotify playlist. I think that's part of the thing that made the Hamilton sort of the score of that such a natural fit for me. You know, Lynn and I we were only a year apart.
Yeah.
So we grew up with the same music in our ear, hip hop. And that was a genre I left off. And so in that show, I got to do a little jazz, a little R&B, some Broadway stuff, some folk. You know, I got to really do all the things that I love to do. And so Mister, in a lot of, feels hand in glove in the same way. I get to do a lot of stuff on this record. But that is how we started, the Nat King Cole, the Cab Calloway, the Billy Eckstein, Sam Cooke. That's how we started.
I see. Well, let's listen to a little bit more then from Mister. This is a track called Standards. And my beakers of pride, you're not bleeding me dry, cannot abide. I got my head on a swivel this time. Why would I let you just twist it aside? I catch a fever when they're aiming at the way I live my life. These are my standards. I ain't gonna never, never let them die. I ain't gonna never, never let them die. That's Standards from Leslie Odom Jr.'s new album, Mister. And it swings. But let me ask you, you told Broadway.com that a lot of the songs on the album started as journal entries. Is this one of them?
Yeah, that's one of them for sure, yeah. With Standards, we were trying to write, you know, what's your credo? What's the thing? What's the thing that you really came to say as an artist? What's the song that I want to sing for the next 50, 60 years if I'm lucky? You know, what's my way? You know, and so we set out to write that. I'll say, you know, the thing that's gotten me into the most trouble in my life is probably my standards. You know. There's been a couple of other things too, but that's sort of what I've felt coming up in this country, you know, as a young man, young black man, you know, things are changing for sure, but I felt like even though I was given opportunities to shine and to work. I often felt like I was just expected to be happy to be in the room, just happy to be there. That I wasn't supposed to have any standards. I wasn't supposed to care how much money I made. I wasn't supposed to care. You know, I wasn't supposed to have any conflicts or any other things that I was obligated to do. You know, in the way that my white brothers and sisters might. You know. So, yeah, just, you know, having a certain standard for yourself. And I also felt like that's a universal message. You know, a lot of people have felt the same thing. But it's really about self-respect, mm-hmm. is what that song is about. Respect and the confidence of asking for the things you feel you need and you feel you deserve.
Right. So instead of being or accepting being told that you should just be grateful for what you get for authentically wanting more, for having higher standards for yourself.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's, you know, I've learned that the way you ask is important, you know, certainly the first and second time. The third and fourth time, you might have to get a little belligerent. You might have to do it in a way that people don't like. But the first and the second time, you know, it is important the way you comport yourself, the way you ask for the things you want and the things you need. But I've also grown accustomed to, you know, you got to get used to the fact that not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to, you know, not everybody's going to be into it. But, you know, this is a song where I'm celebrating the thing that's gotten me into a whole lot of trouble in my life.
Well, hear, hear. No, I'm all for high standards, even if they come at a cost sometimes.
That's right.
But is it fair to say this is the first album of entirely original songs from you?
That's very fair to say, yeah.
I mean, what was it like writing that? Because, I mean, do you think you could have written this album, I don't know, 5, 10 years ago?
Not at all. No, I mean, my first record is a Kickstarter record. The first album titled Leslie Odom Jr. is an album of jazz standards that we got from my friends and family. You know, we got the opportunity to do from my friends and family. They gave us the money in tens and twenties, and we raised about $40,000 and made this record, that record, where I really learned a lot about myself as a singer in the recording process, because it's very different than singing live. And so then the Christmas album was an entirely different kind of challenge. You know, I thought that that might be, I don't know if easy is the word, but I thought it would be easier than it was. I'll say that, you know, recording those Christmas songs, because, you know, you've been singing Christmas songs your whole life and you sing them around the fire and we're just going to go sing some Christmas songs. But then you hear those things coming out, you hear the playback coming out of the speakers. And I mean, I recorded some of those songs 3 and 4 times because they didn't sound honest. Uh-huh. You know, you have to when it's going on record, for me, if it's going to go on record, it needs to sound like it's the first time it's being sung. It needs to sound like it's vital, like it's fighting for a reason to be sung today, and not like you're just, you know, it's not a karaoke track, you know. So I learned a whole lot recording the Christmas album, and then all the, you know, Hamilton, I learned a ton recording that album. And the Nationwide jingles taught me a lot too, you know, about finding my authentic voice. So it's been all of these, I've had all these wonderful opportunities to find my voice singing other people's material, but this was the first time, so it was tricky, daunting, but I had to find that with my own songs.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the earlier years of your career and how you got to where you are today. So, Leslie Odom Jr., stand by for just a second. We are talking to the Tony and Grammy Award winner about his newest solo album called Mister. This is a track off Mister. It's Stronger Magic. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
There must be some little trick, oh, out in this big wide world. 'Cause what plan could I ever devise that don't have you by my side? No eyes ever felt so true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some think it's just witchcraft, but I think it's more than that, 'cause I think there's stronger magic at hand.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The earth turns, the sun burns, but I die without you.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and Broadway fans will recognize that song. It is Without You from the smash Broadway hit Rent. This is a 2018 version of the song Without You, sung by Leslie Odom Jr. Now, you know Leslie Odom Jr. as Aaron Burr. He played that role in the smash hit Hamilton, won a Tony for Best Actor in a Musical, and a Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album as Principal Vocalist in Hamilton. But we're talking with Leslie Odom Jr. this hour about his new album called Mister and about his career on stage as well. So, Leslie, tell us about what first brought you to the Broadway stage, or when did you first know that, like, that is what you wanted to do? That's where you wanted to be.
Yeah, it was that show. It was Rent. That was my Hamilton, you know. I didn't know anything about Broadway, or, you know, we didn't grow up seeing Broadway shows and anything like that. The tickets were very expensive when I was a kid, $75 for a top ticket on Broadway. But that was a lot of money for a family of four. So, but Rent was in a very similar way to Hamilton. You know, it was reaching people outside of New York City somehow, you know, was making noise outside of the city. And so in Philadelphia, it reached me. I was 13 years old. And, you know, if I knew about performing at all as a kid, it was really I understood it in a, you know, pop context. You know, I was like Michael Jackson, you know, that was doing, you know, I didn't know where to apply for a job like that. I wouldn't have even dared. But there was something about Rent. There was something about the music. Number one, it sounded like the music I grew up listening to. But it was like, oh, here's another place where you can kind of sing, act, and dance in an evening. You can be Michael Jackson for a night, you know?
Yeah, I just even mentioning the word Rent in the Broadway context, like I can still hear the soundtrack in my head. Like Seasons of Love is going through my head. I saw it once, not on Broadway, not even in New York. I actually saw it in London years after it came out.
Yeah.
But I wept through pretty much, you know, 2/3 of it. I still can't understand why, but it had pull.
It did, yeah. It impacted a generation of makers and audience members. You know, it really moved us. And so, yeah, that show let me know that there was this thing called Broadway, and I might want to be a part of it. And the rest is history, I guess.
Well, so that you were a part of it, right? You were just 17 when you became part of the cast of Rent.
Yeah, it was my wildest dream come true, literally. I couldn't have thought of anything crazier than that. That's all I ever wanted. And so I joke in my concerts sometimes. I say, you know, I never wanted to be in show business. I wanted to be in Rent, you know, but it's really true. I really couldn't think of anything crazier than that. So going into the show, it forced me to dream a bigger dream for myself.
So how did you make that happen? Because you were talking earlier about having high standards. Was this one of those moments where you didn't want to let go of those high standards and you were going to be on stage in Rent?
No. I think Philadelphia has to, you know, I have to give credit to Philly for giving me my standards. You know, I had such fabulous training when I was a little kid, a young black kid growing up in Philly. A lot of my training was for free. You know, I was training on scholarship at places like the Philadelphia Dance Company and the Freedom Theater, these historically black institutions that gave me just a really not only a strong foundation in the arts, but a real sense of myself and who I was and what my place might be in the world as an artist and as a man. And so when I showed up to the audition, I was 16 years old. To a cattle call, as they call them, you know, in Philadelphia, they were auditioning and there were, you know, probably, I don't know, 700-800 people that showed up. And I went to this audition, Magna, and I found myself prepared. No one was more surprised than I'll tell you that. But I had been getting really good training, you know, from the teachers in Philly. And so, you know, 3 or 4 callbacks later, I was in New York City on Broadway, and I was just I discovered that I was prepared. So when I'm talking to young people and they ask me how, I really tell them, I can only tell them really from my experience, you know, but all I was doing was walking toward the thing that I loved. I loved these classes that people were giving me. I loved learning about performing, and I loved Rent. And so I just kept showing up places. And I think if you love something with your whole heart, eventually it'll love you back.
Now, I'm looking back at an article about you that was in the New York Times three-ish years ago, and it said that academics came easy to you as a young boy, but you often had a problem with authority. Is that right?
I would have said standards, but no.
Okay, I was going to say, is that high standards thing?
Yeah, I've apologized to my teachers so many times, man, you know, as I've come across them in life through the Facebook and all that stuff, because I was a handful. I know that it's a hard job that they have, you know, when they have 33, 34 kids in a class, you know, they have to choose the method that reaches the largest number of those kids. You know, they're trying to hold all those kids in their arms, and some kids fall out of their arms. You know, they're in the margins, but they just have to do their best. Okay, I gotta grab the 27 or 28 of these kids that are with me, and I wasn't often with them. So, what would work for me sometimes is if a teacher had the time and the willingness to kind of come down on my level and not to patronize me, but to kind of treat me like a human being and not like, kid person, you know?
Right. You know, so I think to myself when a very talented artist finally, you know, hears that call or feels that call about where they want to be, the direction they want to go, like it's this undeniable force that then continues to guide them through their career, like, you know, come hell or high water. But there's something really interesting that happened to you just after you were in Rent, right? You were on Broadway. You enrolled in college, right? And
that's right.
There's a wonderful story about how your parents said, you know, you get to choose. You want to keep doing college, or you got another Broadway role. Like, you choose what you want to do. Can you tell us that story?
The short of it is, yeah, they said I got to choose. I got offered the original cast of Aida, and they said, come home and we'll talk about it. So we had a family meeting, my parents, my grandparents, my little sister. And they said, the final decision will be mine. We're all going to tell you what we think, but you get to make the final decision. So they all weighed in. And of course, somehow their first choice was for me to stay in college. They all agreed on that. No, not one voice of dissent among them. And by the end of the weekend at home, my dad asked me what I was going to do, what my choice was. And I said, well, thank you so much for the meeting. I'm going to go to Broadway. I'm going to go do this thing that I want to do. And he looked like, oh, this is not the way this is supposed to go. So my mom actually, you said it's a nice story. It's not a great story. My mom actually called me the next morning. I was back at school to pack. I went to college to pack. And my mom called me, and in a last ditch effort, she did the mom thing. She cried, and she told me she had a really bad feeling about this and that I really should finish college and all this. So I told my mom, okay, I'm not going to fight you on this, but this is the last time you get to play this card. I mean, this is, you know, yeah. No more of this, you know, from this. So that was really the last decision my parents made for me. Every decision after that, you know, I've made myself, and there have been some that they disagreed with, but I'm so happy that they forced my hand in that way, you know, because college was a wonderful time. And their worry was that I would leave and that I would never go back.
Right.
You know, they said that, you know, there's a time for that. You know, what's your rush? You want to get out there and start working and paying bills. You will have the rest of your life to pay bills and work. You have this opportunity right now at Carnegie. Why not finish what you started? Mm-hmm.
Well, I said it's a good story because I stand in solidarity with your mom.
Yeah, she'll love that.
She was right to do the mom thing. And so it led to a multi-year hiatus from Broadway.
Yes.
That's absolutely true. But all of that life experience in the interim, of course, is like has informed your career, because then later on we've got Hamilton. So I just want to
–
people are probably by this time, they're like, why are you not playing some of the original soundtrack from Hamilton? So let's just do a little bit of that. This is Leslie Odom Jr. in the original Broadway cast, the soundtrack from Hamilton. This is Aaron Burr, sir.
Can I buy you a drink?
That would be nice.
While we're talking, let me offer you some free advice. Talk less.
What?
Smile more.
Huh.
Don't let them know what you're against or what you're for.
You can't be serious.
You wanna get ahead.
Yes.
Fools who run their mouths off wind up dead.
What time is it?
That's Leslie Odom Jr. as Aaron Burr and Lin-Manuel Miranda in Hamilton. Well, let me ask you, what lessons did you draw as an artist and a performer from Hamilton that you think we hear in the new album, in Mister?
The most salient lesson from that experience for me, and there were so many, but the one that really sticks out for me was the power of a team was really the assembling of, you know, as close to the Avengers as you can get. I mean, you want to surround yourself with people who make you want to strive to be a better version of yourself than you ever even imagined. You know, that's what that cast was for me. That's what it felt like every day coming to work. I wanted to keep up. You know, I just wanted to keep up with David and Anthony and Lynn and Oak and Jasmine and Philippa. I wanted them to know when they looked to their left or to their right and they saw me standing there that they could trust me, that they could pass the ball to me, and they knew that I would, you know, do what I was supposed to, you know, either take the shot or pass the ball, you know. So that's what I took from that. You know, Lynn was so incredibly generous as a creator and as a scene partner. You know, he didn't hoard the good stuff. He wasn't afraid to let the people next to him shine, you know. And so in this record, what I tried to do was surround myself with as many brilliant, lovely, wonderful people as I could possibly find.
Yeah. Well, so let's listen to a little bit more about how you shined. Shined. I'm going to get emails about that, I'm sure. In Hamilton, I mean, you won the Tony for Best Actor in a Musical in 2016, a Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album as Principal Vocalist also in 2016. So here again is Leslie Odom Jr. From the original Broadway cast recording of Hamilton. This is Wait For It.
Death doesn't discriminate. Sinners and the saints, it takes and it takes and it takes, and we keep living anyway. We rise and we fall and we break and we make our mistakes. And if there's a reason, I'm still alive when everyone who loves me has died. I'm willing to wait for it.
Wait for it.
I'm willing to wait for it.
Leslie Odom Jr. singing Wait For It from the original Broadway cast recording of Hamilton. You performed in Hamilton, what, more than 400 times? 400 performances?
Yeah. About 500, I think.
500?
Over 500 with off-Broadway, too, yeah.
So we were wondering this morning when we were talking about how excited we were to have you on the show that, like, all of us were just like, how do you... Given the physical demands and the emotional and artistic demands of a Broadway performance, how do you maintain the quality level in performance 500 that you had in 1, 2, or 10?
Good question. I mean, two things. I mean, I think that in the same way, you know, different bodies are different. Sometimes I hear a voice, you know, I'll hear a voice like Janis Joplin or something. You know, if I tried to... you know, sing like that, I'd be toast in seconds. I mean, she was made for that. You know, you hear some of the guys that sing death metal or something. That's what they're made to do. Patti LaBelle even, or Pavarotti, you know what I mean? So I think that 8 shows a week kind of thing, that just happens to be what my body's made to do. You know, I thrive in that. I like that. I like punching a clock and showing up and trying to better what I did yesterday. That's, you know, I'm in it for that. So that, and then that great training that I got at Carnegie taught me really how to, you don't get to show 500 by going to sleep, you know, around show 300. I mean, the way you do it is that you keep digging. And so it helps. Because you end up staring at the same, you know, you're staring at the same painting for however long you're there, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, you know, you really want to make sure that it can stand that kind of a harsh gaze. You feel me? Like it needs to be able to withstand the digging. Some shows just, all due respect, they're flimsy, you know, they just... the longer you look at them, the more flawed they seem. I mean, Hamilton is a show that you really can dig your teeth in for 500 shows. But yeah, that's how I did it. I just kept digging and digging, 500 shows, thanks to Carnegie and Lynn's beautiful work.
Remarkable. Well, we are talking this hour with Leslie Odom Jr. He has a new solo album out. It's called Mister, and we're going to take a quick break and let's listen to Under Pressure. It's a track from Mister. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
The brightest, my fruits might not be the ripest. In the forest, not the tallest tree, but taste my nectar, it's the nicest. Hummingbird, you're my little hummingbird.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour with Leslie Odom Jr. He has a new solo album out. It's called Mister, and this is Hummingbird.
You're my little hummingbird, flying around me for hours, hoping with me you'll land.
Now, Leslie, I've heard that Hummingbird is a favorite track of a certain special someone in your life.
Yeah, I came home from the writing session and I played the album, of course, for my partner, Nicolette, and then my kid. And this was from the demo phase. This was Lucille's favorite song, by a mile, too. This is the only one she wanted to hear.
So tell us more about it. How'd you write it? What's the song about?
Well, we were thinking of that guy again, you know, thinking of the live show and thinking of the kind of song that Bobby Darin or Frank Sinatra or, you know, Gene Kelly might have sang, you know, what would that sound like today, you know, in a sort of modern singing in the rain, if you will. You know, we're trying to make those older kind of movie musical tunes, something that a kid might want to listen to today.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to another one here, because this one, I think it actually has a kind of personal connection, a personal story behind it. This is the track
I should say about Hummingbird, too. It's like, you know, the personal connection to that one, it's once we decided the world that we wanted to sort of write toward, it was one of the writers, Andrew, you know, really took it personal. It's kind of about a woman who won't settle down. He's like, you know, she comes and she flirts with me, but like I can't get her to, I'm in love with her, but I can't get her to only want to be with me. Say that. Yeah. Sorry, you were moving on.
No, it's okay. The stories behind how all these songs are crafted are always very interesting here. So second, I'm going to ask you about the story behind Foggy, but let's listen to it. This is Foggy from Leslie Odom Jr.'s new album, Mister.
Sorry, may sound so trite to say, my darling, let's not get up today and maybe I'll find a way to right this wrong. You said you wanted to disappear, Miss Capulet. Your hair's all done and your cheeks all wet. Forgive me,
memories fade and I forget I'm foggy.
Leslie Odom Jr. singing Foggy from his new album, Mister. So what journal entry did that come from?
Well, it's really interesting, like, you know, the ride, that sort of Hamilton ride, you know, as high as we got, you know, the highest height of that thing. It was super difficult keeping the connection with my partner, with Nicolette. And so it was just literally about, you know, this is an amazing and incredibly busy time in my life. And it was sometimes hard to hold her hand through that. You know, we lost each other every now and again through that. We found our way through it, but it's the universal aspect of it is, you know, just how with kids or work or ambition, success, you know, or, you know, these things can sometimes make you lose sight of the most important thing in your life, which is the person that you share it with, the person that's standing next to you. So that's kind of what it's about. It was a hard time for Nick. You know, you can imagine there were rooms sometimes where people would literally shove her aside to get to me, or, you know what I mean? And she just, it was a difficult time for her and for us. You know, we found our way through though. We're good now. We're good. Yeah. But it was, yeah.
You know, when you put it that way, I could just see it in my head that, like, yeah. Here she is. She's your partner in this journey of life. And because of the intensity of the spotlight that was on you, people literally shoved her aside. Like, that has to be hard.
It was hard. And I mean, that's it's kind of her story to tell. But there was a night that was particularly hard for her. It was a night that should have been about her, and it kind of ended up being about me, and it was just a weird trip. I'm happy that the most intense part of that trip is over. You know, it was, because it was intense. The center of that storm was intense.
But she is on this album, right?
She is. Yeah. She Nicolette's got one of my favorite voices on planet Earth, and we love singing together too. And so I begged her to sing. There are only three background singers on the album, and I call them background singers, but there should be a featured artist, is what I should call them. But Jermaine Dolly's one of them. Aston Turrentine is another one, and Nicolette Robinson is another. She's all over it.
Wow. Well, listen, you have been a very busy person recently, and I've got to talk to you about your star turn in the movie Harriet. Absolutely remarkable. And obviously the movie is about the life of Harriet Tubman, and Cynthia Erivo plays Harriet in the movie, and she's knock your socks off good. And you play the role of William Still, a free African-American and a member of the Pennsylvania Anti-Slavery Society. So let's listen to a little scene from Harriet.
Well, I don't know if you know how extraordinary this is, but by some miraculous means, you have made it 100 miles to freedom all by yourself. Would you like to pick a new name to mark your freedom? Most ex-slaves do. Any name you want.
They call my mama Rick, but her name Harriet. I want my mama name and my husband. Harriet Tubman.
That's Cynthia Erivo playing Harriet Tubman and Leslie Odom Jr. playing William Still in the new movie Harriet. Tell me about what it was like to be in this movie.
Oh, I got an invitation. You know, I got a golden ticket to come and be a part of the Harriet Tubman celebration, you know, of her life and extraordinary achievements. My friend Cynthia was cast as the lead, and Deborah Martin Chase knew me from Hamilton and some other things, and so they just offered me this part. Growing up in Philadelphia, I knew very well about the work of William Still, so there was also the chance to play a great Philadelphian. Though he wasn't born in Philadelphia, we claim him. He was born in Jersey. But yeah, it was my honor, really.
So so tell us more about that. I mean, you knew of William Still. He was born a free man.
Yeah.
And there's a really interesting scene in the movie where I think Harriet almost sort of admonishes William that he does not know firsthand the sort of
the
evils of the bondage of slavery.
So
tell us more about him and sort of what you brought to bringing him to life on screen.
Well, he was on the front lines of the revolution, same as Harriet, you know, but as you pointed out, you came from a very different way of life, those are two very different portraits of black life living in America at the same time. William never spent a day of his life in chattel slavery, but was raised by two escaped slaves. His mother tried to escape twice with her four children. On her third escape attempt, she had to make the impossible choice to leave two of her children behind if she wanted to make it on the third run. So she left her two boys behind and made it to Jersey with her two daughters. So she had more children once she got to the North. William was one of those kids. And that childhood stuff, that family stuff, I had no idea about. Uh-huh. They didn't teach us that. So I knew about him as the father of the Underground Railroad, as he's sometimes called. You know, I knew about his work with UGRR. But learning about his mother's pain, you know, learning about that little thing gave me a clue as to possibly what might have driven him to his life's work. You know, I just imagined my relationship with my mom, but just growing up with a mother who was quite possibly grieving for all of his life. You know, he only knew a grieving woman. He only knew this woman who had this pain that he could never access. Did he hear about it from a sibling? Did his mom sit down and tell him? You know, in black families, that's the kind of thing that he probably didn't even hear about it from her. Just painting that picture, you know, I just tried to put somebody on screen who was, you know, with blood pumping in the veins and a heart in the chest. Also, what I thought would be interesting too was the juxtaposition of those two, of Harriet and William,
yeah,
how differently they went about their work and how differently they came up in life in America.
There is a scene in the movie where William Still and Harriet Tubman are walking on the street in Philadelphia, yeah, and Still tells her that she can walk with her head held high. Right, walk, yeah, like she knows what freedom feels like. Mm. And that's a terrible paraphrase of the actual.
No,
line.
It's great.
But you know what I mean? Like it was so subtle and this small little scene. But to me, it really was one of the scenes in the movie that exemplified like the cruelty of slavery. That someone who
that's
had
right.
entered freed had entered a state of liberation. Like you almost had to be taught from the ground up. Like this is what it feels like to be free, and you can be, you know, in possession of your own liberty.
That's right. And how shameful in America that there could be that disparate an experience, you know what I mean, for two people just because of what state they happen to be born in. It's horrible.
Yeah. So what has it been like for you to play these historical characters? I mean, everyone from Aaron Burr to, you know, William Still. I mean, they're so different.
Mm. It's you know, it's a big responsibility. You take the responsibility, and but it's a great honor. The next movie that I did that comes out, not a historical figure. I did the Sopranos prequel. David Chase has taken the franchise and made a major motion picture about young Tony, about two summers, two pivotal summers in his life, young Tony and James Gandolfini's son plays young Tony, Michael Gandolfini. So super special thing. So I get to step away from the historical character a little bit, but the Newark riots play a huge part in this film. So I had to, you know, do research and really drill down and learn what that was all about. It's a huge honor. I I got no complaints. I'll play them all. If people think I'm able, I'm happy to bring all I can to the roles.
You're going
to
be on stage again?
I would love to. We're going to, part of the thing that I'm so excited about the record is that it allows me to get back on stage sooner rather than later. We have a tour coming up. We're going to be all over the country in March and April. You can find that on LeslieOdomJr.com or on social. So we'll do, I think, like 30 dates in almost as many days. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
What about Broadway?
I would do it. Yeah. I mean, I would do it. You know, it was.
That doesn't sound. I mean, I can't tell if that's you being like, "Yeah, I'd absolutely do it," or "do it."
No, I would. Schedule becomes tricky, you know, because they're a long time commitment that you have to give to a Broadway show. So it has to be something that you feel is worth, you know, Hamilton. Before we ever stepped on a off Broadway stage, you know, I was a part of development for like a year and a half. So there's quite a bit of chunk of your life that you have to devote to it. So, you know, it just has to be something that feels like it's worth that. But are you kidding me? If something came across my desk that was worth it, I would do it in a heartbeat. I just don't think that they, you know, they're not making Hamiltons, you know, they don't grow on trees.
No, they don't.
You know, they're not making them all that often. So, but yeah, I'm here. Let's write something. Let's go. What are you doing later? I already wrote one song about you. Let's talk a little bit. Maybe you'll inspire me to write a few more.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand in line for early tickets for the next thing that you
Great.
Do, okay? That's what I'm going to do. Look, we've got one last minute left, 1 minute left here. And just obviously in talking to you and seeing the work that you've already done, it's so clear that you have a great passion for this. You love singing and performing. Why do you love it? What drives you today?
So part of the easy answer is like it was something that felt like it came naturally to me. And so like, you know, it was like if you have a sort of a natural aptitude for anything, you know, you'd be a fool to fight it. You know, so I sort of just have tried to get better at this thing that I had a little bit of gifting to do anyway. But beyond that, I really, because this business is so difficult, I think you have to answer that question for yourself. And for me, it is about the connection with the audience. I do it because I love the conversation that we can have.
Well, Leslie Odom Jr. is the Tony and Grammy Award-winning actor and musician. His newest album out is called Mister. We're going to go out with the track You Are My Everything. It has been an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Meghna. Appreciate it.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.